It makes it easier. And see if we can play on the porch. Never expect it. Yes, I did that.
Can you see me, Wendy?
I can now.
Oh, okay.
There you are.
I
I
just
have,
I don't see myself. So I was just like, wait, am I actually being projected here?
No, I see you. I have the meeting reminders up, so I don't see, like,
Got it.
I have a little sidebar of people's faces.
Cool. I was just
That's
like,
about it.
wait, is it working? But that's
No,
cool. How are
you're
you?
there. You go. Oh, I'm here.
That's
That's
good.
a
It's a good
plus.
start. It's a good start.
Yeah.
We're halfway
Let's
through.
say the fifth. So my birthday is 7 months from today. That's always a
Oh,
plus too,
there you
you know.
go. 7 months away. There
I
you
had to
go.
think that's the fifth. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, sounds about right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe 8 months. I just, yeah.
Right.
And we get an extra
Okay.
day for winter break.
We what?
We get the extra day for winter break.
Yes, that's going to be brought up once I get this meeting going. We'll let give everyone about another minute to get in, and then we shall do our thing. Okay, my friends, we are good. We're recording. I am going to call this meeting to order, the employee assembly meeting on Wednesday, November 5th. If we could please have roll call.
Hi everyone, welcome. If you hear your name, if you can please acknowledge that you're here, we would greatly appreciate it. It sounds like there's some people that might be having troubles with their sound.
I got mine fixed. Mine was stupid.
Right. Well, if anyone else, I guess, is having troubles, please put her in the chat, and we will try to troubleshoot. Thanks, everyone. But yes, if you hear your name, please acknowledge that you're here. Mel Banta. Victoria Bell. Bell.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Benda. Actually, excuse. Jennifer Best.
Here.
Thank you. Adam Blakesley.
Present.
Thank you. Second. That is. Ricky Boche.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Boggs.
Present.
Gladys Brangman. Sean Chang.
Present.
Erica Crawley.
I'm here.
Thank you. Bethany Dixon. Jamie Doss. Alicia Erickson. Kevin Fitch. Danielle Hill.
Are here.
Thank you, Danielle. Rose Howard.
Present.
Thank you. Kyle Carnuta.
I'm here.
Thank you. Ellie Crump Powers.
I'm here.
Thank you. Jeremy Cruiser.
Present.
Thank you. Sophie Lanches.
Present.
Thank you. Yelverton Lucane. David McDermott.
Present.
Thank you. PM enters. Anne Morse.
Present.
Stephanie Rousseau.
Present.
Matthew Schneider.
Present.
Thank you. Michelle Stefaniski Seymour. Kate Supron.
Present.
Thank you. Deb Serene.
Present.
Wendy Treat.
Present.
Danielle Weerson.
Present.
Nikki Williams.
Here.
I think I heard a here.
Yep, I'm here.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. Cool. Thank you, everyone.
Also, Yvonne in chat, Alyssa Erickson is also present.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Yvonne. Off to our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people past and present to these lands and waters. All right, for our next agenda item, we have the approval of the October 15th meeting minutes for EA members. Thank you, Rose. You just did what I was going to do. The link in the agenda was incorrect. It went to our meeting minutes from October 1st. So Rose has just put in the chat the updated or the correct link. If no one has any questions, comments, amendments. I actually have a couple of friendly amendments, but I'll let someone else speak up first if they would like. So my friendly amendments are under the roll call item D. Eric's last name is misspelled, so we just want to make sure that that gets corrected. Under item 5, item A, number 1, it's actually offered the option of a special meeting, not a specialty meeting. And the last one that I have is same item 5, item D, number 1. It's President Kotlikoff and Vice President CHRO Lovely. She's not Vice Provost. So I would welcome a second to my friendly amendments by unanimous consent if anyone could do that. Yes, Rose.
I second your friendly amendments, and I also motion to approve by unanimous consent with amendments.
Seconded.
Thank you. Do we have any dissent? Seeing none, our minutes from October 15th are approved with friendly amendments, and we'll move to our next agenda item, which is a call for late additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we'll close that item and we'll go right into our business of the day. So we are very happy to welcome Kathy Berkren, who is an Associate Vice President in Organizational Development and Effectiveness, to our meeting today. Kathy, feel free. I've already set up the sharing if you have a slide deck to share or anything like that.
All right. Assuming you can hear me. So I am thrilled to be here today, and I welcome any and all questions. It is just a privilege to be able to be here with you today and to share what we are able to do with and for employees. So we are organizational development and effectiveness, and our mission is literally developing individual and organizational excellence. We're either developing the individual or we're developing the organization. As Peter Senge says, if you aren't developing the individuals, you cannot develop the organization. So that is literally our mission. And so what do? I divide organizational development and organizational effectiveness into two things. We consult with leaders to develop customized team and group retreats. And we do this in any area that somebody is asking for it. It can be team building. It can be specialized training. It can be literally anything that someone needs. What I have always said to my team is that when somebody asks us to do something, unless it's truly out of our bailiwick, the answer is yes. And I learned that from Ezra Cornell way back when I started working with him in 1995. And he said, the only answer is yes, unless it truly doesn't fit. So an example of something that wouldn't fit, if a team wants to get together and just have, it's not that we don't want to have fun. If a team wants to get together and just have fun or do a retreat of play, we actually encourage them to go to the Cornell Leadership Center where they can do ropes courses or those kinds of things. So that would be an example. We provide in-person programs that range in time and medium from online to 1 to 2 hours to multiple days to remote. And I'll give examples of those later. We offer coaching for executives, people leaders, and individual contributors. We currently have 70 certified internal coaches on campus. And we have learned that it isn't something that we go out and we say, who wants to be a coach? Because you want people who are passionate about doing it. And they really, it is what they want to do. We have probably trained up about 10 people who realized it was not for them. So we want coaches who are passionate. And when they go through the 60-hour certification program, meaning you have to sit for all 60 hours, then they are a certified executive coach and they can begin working towards their International Coaching Federation accreditation. And there's 3 levels of accreditation. There's ACC, meaning Associate Certified Coach. There's PCC, Professional Certified Coach, and MCC, Master Certified Coach. There are 2 of us on campus who are professional certified coaches and a number of people who are ACC coaches. Team coaching, there are 3 of us who are certified to do team coaching. That's Ari Mack, myself, and Marcus Brooks. And we do that with the team. We've had a number of teams go through it, and it is just a really good way for the team to get to know one another. The way we started out is we asked them 7 questions, anything from what is your purpose for being together? What creates success? How do you collaborate together? What are your internal processes, your external processes? Let me see what else. What are leadership traits that are needed? What's needed in the future for you to be successful? So the people who on the team, everybody is asked those same questions. And then we analyze that data and we take it back to the team and we do a report out and they start talking about it. And then from there, they get to choose the agenda about how they are going to become, what they want to work on to become more effective. A key to team coaching, you don't suggest a team that isn't already, for the most part, very successful or successful to do team coaching, because there wouldn't be the trust. So there has to be an element of trust on the team in order to do team coaching. That said, where we've done it, it has been, you know, we've had really good results. Coach supervision is something that you coaches who are certified coaches receive 4 coach supervision sessions a year. And why that is important is the International Coaching Federation has a policy that every certified coach or certified coach or accredited coach should be supervised 4 times a year. That doesn't mean that the person they're coaching is in the room with them. It is where they are talking about different situations where they've coached and seeing how they can build their own capacity as a coach. Conflict mediation, we offer that for faculty and staff here in Qatar, wild medicine. And so all of this that I'm talking about, we do at all of those locations, Geneva, wherever the group happens to be. And just as an aside, we have been working with Qatar since 2007. So that's not a new thing for us. We've probably taken the Harold DeCraft Leadership Program there. Gosh, it's probably 7 or 8 times now. I've lost track. I went the first 5. I haven't been recently. And we've taken Turning Point there probably 6 times. Again, don't quote me on those numbers. But that program is going back again in April. Mentoring for faculty and staff. You can sign up to be a mentor or a mentee in Workday. And I highly encourage people to do that. At any given time, I am probably mentoring about 3 to 4 people. When it very first opened up, I am not great at social media. And I signed up to have somebody mentor me in social media. Right? You can have somebody mentor you in all kinds of things. And then 360-degree feedback service for and program management and coaching support for 360 briefings. There are many people who want to get a 360 outside of a leadership program. And so if you want to get a 360 outside of the Harold DeCraft Leadership Program or outside Turning Point, you can do that. You work with us to get that set up. And then we make sure that you have a coach for at least 3 sessions to assess your data. So you don't get the 360 and just blah, there you are, and you have to figure it out on your own. That would not be kind. So everybody gets a 3-session coaching from that. Any questions on that page? We can always come back. All right. So the leadership skills for success, this is just the overview of them. And that is what the 360 is made up of for the Harold DeCraft Leadership Program. And the skills for success are what the 360 is made up of for the Turning Point Program. So if those ever change, we will, you know, if anything changes to change the skills that people are looking at, which we do try to look at them every few years. The last time we looked at them was 2018, we finalized them. So it's been almost 10 years. So it's time again where we're considering that. Then those become the questions for the 360s. So in other words, people know if they know the skills for success and the leadership skills for success, they know exactly what they're being rated on. Other things that we do, career services. You may have heard the name Radhika Nayak. She offers career consulting and training, cover letter review, resume review, interviewing and mentoring, networking gigs, and she also runs the coaching program that I talked about. Cornell Interactive Theater Ensemble. By the way, we have now coached probably around 950 to 1,000 people since 2020, since I started the internal coaching program. And we feel really good about that because coaches on average, external coaches can charge anywhere from $7,000 to upwards to $30,000, depending on how good they are, what's their credentials, all of that. So we base our price on $12,000, trying to get somewhere less than the average of what people would charge. And so having an internal coaching program where everybody can get coaching for free, whether you're faculty, staff, union, whatever your position is, we figure that we have saved the university about $6 to $7 million so far. And so we think it's a really good return on investment. The other piece of that is if you want to become a certified coach, your department pays for your coaching. There's 3 different letters people sign. You sign one, your people leader signs one, your HR person signs one. And you sign off that if you are going to become a coach, that 2 to 3% of your FTE will go to support coaching. The deans, the vice presidents, the vice provost like this model because there's not money changing hands, so there's not administration work to it. And they figure that they will get their return on investment by their person coaching somebody else. You cannot coach someone who is in your own college or division or in your own function. So, for example, I can't coach anybody in HR. If Steve Jackson, who is on my team, does coaching, he can't coach anybody in HR and he can't coach anybody in finance. So we don't want you to be coaching somebody that you can have any say over their pay or performance or perceived say. And that is an ICF rule, and we've kept to it very well. Our challenge is Qatar, because we have four certified coaches in Qatar, and they end up having to coach in the US because they're too close. Qatar is just too small to have them coaching people there. So hopefully that makes sense. Cornell Interactive Theater Ensemble, or SITE, many of you probably know it through Dane Cruz and sexual harassment, or Alumni Affairs and Development. We've done a lot of things with them, helping people practice and work with an actor on how to raise money, and the actors change their personas based on what the situation is. So you might get a sad donor, you might get a mad donor, you might get a happy donor who has some other things going on. So we use it a lot for those kinds of things. And we use it, Dane helps create a lot of the videos that you see for students, graduate students, and other areas. Developing, and Dane and Jennifer Fonseca, who is the facilitator now for SITE, are taking, when they take Turning Point in April to Qatar, they are doing 2 days of a training on having complex conversations in Qatar. The Division of Financial Services offers training and mentoring as part of the organizational development. And Steve Jackson is really experienced in LMS and in training in general. And you can see the groups that he trains for listed there. Not all the time for all of them, but often enough. We provide 24/7 online education through CU Learn, including Skillsoft and LinkedIn Learning. I will tell you, we are, Beth Gelzer and I from CIT are working together to figure out, do we keep both Skillsoft and LinkedIn Learning? And we're, when we do this, it's for us, Qatar, Wild Medicine. So we have to get the package that everybody likes. And so we are working through that. I just had a meeting with her this morning. Future of work. Many of you may have heard about the emerging tech dialogues that have started, that Ben Maddox, who I just think the world of, has started. And he asked Beth Gelzer and I to start a group called The Future of Work. And so we are doing that in partnership with CIT, HR, and the AI innovation. And we are looking at future of work. And I've been doing, asking different groupings, and I would love to ask you, doesn't have to be today, but what does the future of work look like? What kind of training are people going to need? What kind of skills are people going to need? And so we've been doing that around campus. And by the way, the last thing that comes up is AI, even though AI is part of it, because people say communication is going to be more important than ever in the future of work. And good supervision, good people leaders are going to be more important than ever. And then we turn to the organizational effectiveness side. And this is where we consult, advise, and work with leaders on change leadership. Some people call it change management. I always call it change leadership because I don't think you can lead without managing, and I think you can manage without leading. Does that make sense? Like, you can be a really not good leader and still manage change. I think it's harder to be a good leader and manage change. So we do everything from strategic planning. We've been doing this since 2000. I started in organizational development in 2000, so just a couple years ago. And one of my first things somebody asked me is, do you do strategic planning? And guess what my answer was? Yes. And then I went out and I learned from all kinds of different ways. How do you do it? Goal alignment. How are you making sure your goals are aligned to what you are doing? This is really critical in everything that we're doing, so that whatever is happening in a college department, unit, division, department, unit, are aligned, that we make sure that we are doing the work that is aligned to where the organization is going. Lean process improvement. We have done a lot of lean process improvement throughout our time here. One of my favorite ones, and I don't know if any of you were at the vet school lab, what am I, ADHC? I think I got that right. Diagnostic labs. We worked with them in 2013 to look at all of their processes about how they get all of these thousands and thousands of samples in a day and out a day, and really cleaned that up. So it can be really effective. Another one that we did early on that are part of my memory because I was helping with them a lot was when the Cornell campus store started doing online sales. They put everything in the warehouse and then they would take it over to the store. You're all going to think they're crazy because they were. They took it all over to the store. And then if you bought it, they picked it off the racks at the store. And guess what they did? They sent it back to the warehouse. Not a good use of time, right? So that's another example. And the greenhouses. We worked with Mike. Oh, I'm missing his last name at the moment. But Mike, he's an academic from the College of Ag and Life Sciences. And we looked at, this was probably at least 10 years ago, what greenhouses we could close and how much money that would save if they closed X number of greenhouses and did change them into something else. So just some examples of what that can be. And it can be small processes too. We've done a lot within our own. We've done a lot across campus. Then assessment and continuous improvement. If you want to keep assessing and make sure you're continuously improving, we offer help and support there. Culture and organizational assessments. That is another time when you go in and either, usually it's Ari Mack or myself, interviews the members of the group that we're assessing. And we ask a number of questions. It's typically, I develop the questions, Ari develops the questions in partnership with the leadership that is asking for the organizational assessment. And so then we report out on that data, and then the group figures out what are they going to improve from that point on. Organizational structure and design. This was another thing, probably in 2003, somebody said, do you do organizational structure and design? And I said, yes. And I went and I figured out, how do I do that? I was also getting my degree in organizational behavior at the time. And so I worked with a lot of professors to figure out what are different ways that they were doing that. And so that's really about aligning your mission, vision, values, understanding your buckets of work. What are your key buckets of work? So a key bucket of work in organizational development and effectiveness would be multi-day programs. Another key bucket of work would be Division of Financial Services training. Another key bucket would be career development, right? So they're the big buckets. And then how do you align the structure, the job responsibilities, and the competencies to that? And then you get down to, we start working a lot with workforce planning and compensation to make sure the job responsibilities, the roles, everything are aligned to the competencies. I should actually change that to skills because we're changing everything to skills so people don't get confused. And you redesign the roles as appropriate based on what you've learned. And then you communicate that internally and externally. And the last one I put there was the Workplace Innovation Team, or WIT. You may have heard Ben Maddox talk about this, or the provost. And that is in partnership with Ben and Ahem Boucher and the AI Innovation Lab. And that is where we are working with people to say, is there something that you want to do with AI to change a challenging process? And then as a result of that, is the organizational design set up in a way to best handle that process? To date, it's probably on everybody's mind, I have not seen one layoff or heard of one layoff or one anything related to AI in terms of making things work. What I have seen is that there's a lot less hair pulling as a result of taking some process and making it better, that is just so rote. So our Career Success Center, this is not, I can't click on anything to make it go anywhere. We have build your skills, be a leader, and then we have for supervisors. I will tell you, we have a challenge with, we are trying to go to the word people leader or people manager so that people are first, people first. And so we have struggled with that. And the great reason we have struggled with that is union language, union contracts still say supervisor, and that's probably never going to change. And so while we're calling them people leader, because we want those people who are leading people to realize it is people first. And we went through this and we got a big push probably around 2015, 2020 to start looking at this. And so we were doing stuff towards this. Maybe it was 2018, I don't know, but I know we were starting to look at it and the pandemic happened. People feel like the word supervisor takes you back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s, and people being told, this is how you're going to do your work. This is what you're going to do. This is when you're going to do it. This is when you're going to be here, which there's still some of that, right? There has to be, like if you're in dining, if you have to feed the students between, you know, 6:30 and midnight or whatever it is, then you will want people there at certain times. So there is still some of that. It is the way of being, though, in which you do that. So this is a snapshot of some career skills programs. This is just November 2025 and a snapshot of December 2025, just some of our titles. We try to add 6 new titles every 6 months. So that we're listening, we're gathering data, we're finding out what is it that people need. So sincerely, if the employee assembly thinks that there is something that we should be teaching in one of our short courses, I would love to have you tell us what that is. It doesn't have to be today. If there is something that we need to be teaching, please let us know. Because that's the way we grow these courses, is by people giving us input and sharing what they think needs to happen. We also do research on our own, and yet a lot of it is by people requesting. We still have supervising at Cornell. It's a full online curriculum that we developed starting about 2017. And it is just little 3 to 5 minute videos. There's one that is still has Paul Streeter on it, that talks about how the budget works at Cornell, which if you haven't watched it, it is totally worth watching it. I wish I could remember the number of it, but hopefully you would just look up Paul Streeter. He does a fantastic job. I realize he's not here anymore. And he does a fantastic job of talking about how does budgeting work at Cornell. Supervisor development program, again, we continue. Jennifer Fonseca is redoing this program. She is going to rename it. We did try running it as the People Leader Development Program 1 year, and we only had 10 signups. People were looking for the word supervisor. So we switched it back to Supervisor Development Program. She just shared what she is doing and planning and has been working on with different folks across the institution, not just in HR, but across the institution, about what would be important to have in that program. And one of the things that they requested is that some individuals across the institution help her, you know, go into her designs that she has and finish that. So she was hoping to launch it in January. I'm guessing since she just found this out 2 weeks ago, it probably won't be January. That said, we can still run the other one. Sorry, I got to take a drink. All right. So here are our leadership programs. Turning Point, which is a 5-day in-person program. The fee is $260. It is for frontline staff. And it focuses on individuals as leaders and the power of dialogue and communication, personal mastery, and leadership. We have tried to do this hybrid. It really didn't work well. The people who were on the screen, it is so interactive that it is very hard for that person to be able to fully engage. We do it hybrid when somebody takes the program and they get sick and they aren't sick enough that they want to stay in bed. We will do that, any of these dual combination. Probably not developing facilitation skills. That's one where you really need to be in the room. Herald to Craft Leadership Program is a five-day program. It's $355. It's the first session of a nine-day leadership program. Those 9 days used to be offered all together when it was back when Hal Crafter first started these programs. So you may not know, in 1993, January of 1993, Hal Craft started all the leadership programs at Cornell. Back in the day, he asked the person that was in my position to help him develop leadership programs. And the response that he got back was, "We don't have the staff." So he started developing them on his own. That's how all of the leadership programs got started at the institution. And so when he retired in 2005, all of his peers who were on his retirement committee renamed the leadership development program the Herald E. Craft Leadership Program. The Herald E. Craft Leadership Program and the Executive Herald E. Craft Leadership Program, HDCLP, are the exact same content. They're different band levels because literally the conversation is different in the room depending on the band levels. And some of it's the same, some of it is different, which you would hope that that would be the case. Let me add this because it came onto my mind and I don't want to forget it. If somebody gets placed in a program that is above where they're at in terms of their leadership, they come up to us and they tell us they're lost. They don't understand the language. They don't understand the words. And I see Rose shaking her head. She's one of the four that I can see. Because there's language in there that you're not going to hear every day if you are not moving up through a people leader position. And they question us, should I stay in the program? Should I not stay in the program? Should I go to Turning Point? And so just know that these differentiations are pretty important. Building teams and leading change. It's a 4-day in-person. Tanya and Jennifer just ran it last week. And it is all, they've redesigned it a couple of times, but they just redesigned it again. And it is focused on building your team and then obviously leading change. They use ProSide. They have a whole different method for how they're doing it, how they're having people work in teams. And then as they're working in teams, they move out of that. And they're still bringing in the concepts of ProSide change management training. And they have people work on their own individual change that they are trying to get through the institution. Let me see. Leader as coach. Ari Mack just ran this one last week as well. It runs 8:30 to 12. We did this in person, a 2-day back-to-back before the pandemic. And the pandemic, we realized we could do it online. And we have continued to keep it online. As many things as we can keep online, we do keep online. Because we know we have people from all over the United States, Qatar, other places that want to be attending programs. Because sometimes people in Qatar will stay up until the late hours of the night to attend a program that we have. So we really try to honor that as much as possible. Developing facilitation skills. It's a 5-day in-person program. And it is literally teaching someone to be a better facilitator, whether it's a program manager, a project manager, a people leader, and you walk out of that course with the ability to facilitate. That course got started because we wanted to train up people in 1997. We wanted to train up people to become facilitators of Turning Point. Because we were in facilities and campus services at the time, and there were 750 frontline employees that we wanted to get through that. We called it the 750. I was one of those 750. And so we said, how can we get more people through this? We can get more people through this by training more people up to be facilitators. And so that's why when you're in that program, you will see people like Nora Selig from Alumni Affairs and Development, or Deborah Howell, or there's a number of other ones who help us facilitate that program. They have been through Turning Point, or HDCLP. They have been through developing facilitation skills. You can't take developing facilitation skills till you take Turning Point or HDCLP, because We just build on it. We don't repeat the knowledge. We build on it. And if you don't, you're just lost. And so that's about developing facilitation skills. And then there's a Samuel Bachrach Leading Cornell program. This program literally was started because I went into, if anybody remembers the name Chris Halliday, way back in 2007. And I said, Chris, we have really good programs. I don't think we are offering something for the people who are reporting to the senior leaders yet. Like, we're offering things that are good for them, and then they kind of stall. They need something more. So the first year, Chet Wierzynski and I, who retired in 2009, we developed it ourselves. And I'm like, it's good, but it's not that much different, right? We needed something that was different. And so I had taken Sam Bacharach's class as part of eCornell. He's one of the individuals who got eCornell started. And I took his class and I went, this is the kind of content that they need. You know, active, live, like doing this stuff. And so I approached him and he was happy to start working with Mary Opperman and I. And we worked with him to develop this program. What were the content out of all the classes he taught? How could we take those and put them in together in content? He literally redesigns the program every time he runs it. And so there are 35 spots in the Leading Cornell program. When it started out, they would only let us have 20, and I've inched them up to 35. More bang for the buck. How's that? He actually did not have us charge him for the first 10 years. And then he put so much work and effort into it, it felt like it was not even fair. So he has a small charge for that. So that's that program.
Kathy, can I just interrupt for 1 second? Do you have, how many more slides do you have? Because we have to kind of keep on track with our agenda.
So I'll just say we have the Building Excellence Engagement Program and Steve Jackson's Financial Affairs. There you go. Boom.
Wonderful. All right. Sorry about that. It's just, I'm looking at the rest of our agenda. No. All right, we only go until 1:15, so we've only got about a half an hour left of our meeting. Some of the comments that were in chat, I actually will agree. I have also done Turning Point and Developing Facilitation Skills, two of the best experiences I've had with professional development and growth while in my 30-something-ish years at Cornell, and also the other one-off professional development stuff. A couple of comments that were in the chat suggested about Turning Point is to have it start possibly at 9 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock because it's a little bit early. Jeremy, who is our veterans rep, indicated a need for... Everyone's typing in chat while I'm trying to read it. with an increasing number of staff around the country, we need to get better at providing leadership training opportunities to remote staff. We need to work on training better remote leaders. And Kyle, who is our CALS rep, indicated our funds to make those accessible have participated in those with remote workers, but I get the sense they have very supportive teams. So just those comments.
Very appreciated.
I will call on Deb, and then we're going to actually have to move on with our agenda. Oh, there's a comment in chat too, but yes.
Thanks, Wendy. Hi, Kathy. I just have a quick question as a follow-up to what about remote. So as a question for you, if there's a remote employee who, say, lives in California, wants to participate in Turning Point or Harold D. Kraft, what do you do, what can be done for that employee if travel is a barrier to get to Cornell? Like, is there something offered? Like, I'm the chair of the Education and Development Committee, and that's an issue that's come up for us that we're trying to see if we can help with. And it's important that we offer this in some way.
So before all the stuff started with, you know, all the impacts that are going on around the nation, we were working with eCornell to develop an online course, and that literally got stopped. And so I will have to pick that back up again when we get the chance. But it was, we tried a couple of people being hybrid and taking those programs, and they just said that it wasn't a good experience. And for those of you in the program, you would totally understand that comment. Because you're breaking up, going into small groups, big groups, and we're constantly moving a computer around. And so anyway, so we want to do that, and we started on a path to do that. I just don't know when it will become available. And does that help, Deb?
Yes. And just for a thought for you, something came to mind is maybe a travel grant, but I understand where we are right now. Maybe come spring or in the next fiscal year, it could be something that can come back up to the forefront. And we'll certainly as a committee be in touch because it's something that we think is
Right,
important.
absolutely. I can tell you my budget has been cut so much, I would not be able to offer a travel grant. I'm just being 100% serious.
I understand. Yeah.
And so, you know, I do know that there are people that I just talked to, two individuals last week who do not live here in Ithaca who are coming in for a program. Because their leaders think it is that important. And so I go back to what Christine Lovely always says, and she always says that in times like these, developing people is more important than ever. So we keep our programs at the cost that we keep them at. I don't know if you remember, prior to the pandemic, we had a lot more in them that we had to charge for. So we only charge for the material costs that we have. There's no extra built in. And so we thought about taking food out with this last budget cut, because that's going to take care of a lot of your charge. And we had a number of people, when we took that to them, say that for the people who remain on campus, that we shouldn't take away all the niceties. We shouldn't take away the coffee. We shouldn't take away if they come to a multi-day program that they're also having to get their food. So we are taking that feedback into consideration, and that's why the price has stayed where it's at, because the vast majority of that is food and 360s. So great
Thanks
questions,
again,
Deb.
Kathy. So I did mention that we are going to kind of cut it off after Deb. So I apologize, Jeremy. If you would like, I'm sure Kathy would be happy to answer your question or get your feedback via email. And I can send the other comments that are in the chat to you via email as well, Kathy, if that helps.
Sounds great. I
One
appreciate it. Thank you.
request we did have is the slides that you have. Would you be able to send that to either to me or to the Office of the Assemblies so
Oh,
that
absolutely.
we can share that? Okay, much appreciated. All right, thank you again, Kathy. And like I said, always lovely to interact with you, and we appreciate you being here.
Yes, and thank you for all the work that you all do on behalf of the employees.
Thanks.
It's appreciated.
All right, my friends, we are going to kind of do a speed run through the rest of the agenda. I apologize. I want to try and be mindful of everyone's time, and I know some people need to hop off at 1 o'clock. So the next item on the agenda, our meeting on December 3rd is with President Kolakoff and Vice President CHRO Lovely. The agenda item actually has the wrong date and time, but under future events and reminders, that is the correct date and time to submit questions. The questions are due by 4 p.m., or not even 4 p.m., it's 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, November 13th. I'm just double checking the date. Again, I cannot stress enough, this is our opportunity. We have dedicated time from both President Kolakoff and VP Lovely to ask questions. Even if you have a certain topic or item that you would like them to address when they give their presentation, feel free to send that via the Qualtrics as well, or you can reach out to one of the exec committee members to do that. Along those lines, in that same meeting, they're going to be, thank you, Rose. We're also going to be joined by Deputy Provost Avery August for the Presidential Tax Task Force on Institutional Voice. In the agenda are the draft recommendations and then a link for feedback, or you can email that address. It's tfiv@cornell.edu. That feedback is accepted until Friday, November 14th. So the meeting on December 3rd is going to be kind of packed with President Kolakoff, Vice President and CHRO Lovely, and then Deputy Provost Avery August. Next on our agenda is the EA priority survey. So I'm going to bounce it over to Yvonne.
Hey, everyone. So I know that there's been conversation about the priority surveys. It hasn't happened in a few years now. And we really want to emphasize the importance of hearing what our colleagues and ourselves are going through and what is it that we want to focus on as the employee assembly in supporting and advocating for. So with that being said, we also want to make sure that we have representation from all the committees that we have, the working committees that we have as part of the employee assembly. So one ask that we have for all of you, really two asks. First of all, is to connect with all of your committee members and identify at least one to two people who may want to join a subcommittee to work on this priority survey specifically. We're really asking for one to two people so that we can not only have the representation for that committee and that perspective on, for example, benefits and policy, right? Like what are those areas that we want to focus on, benefits and policy and questions that we want to ask? And also so that this one to two individuals can then come back and report what is being shared in the EA priority survey. And you and your committee is aware of the work that is being done and you can continue to collaborate and give your input as we continue to move forward and build this. And the other thing is to, as committees also, think about various questions yourself. What are some things that, you know, you want to focus on? Maybe there are already areas that you're focusing on within that committee. Is there an opportunity to ask questions about that so that the rest of our colleagues get the opportunity to share their feedback as well and let us know where do they think we need to focus on? So those are the two asks. Again, if you can identify one to two individuals that can join a subcommittee. And the second one, if you can please start thinking about various questions. Well, what I'll do is I'll connect with the Office of the Assemblies and start collecting all the information that we have from previous priority surveys, have everything located in one consolidated folder so that when the time comes and we have this developed subcommittee, we can share all of that information. And you, of course, it'll be open to you all as well so that it's in one location and we can really hit the ground running and hopefully implement it soon and come up with a timeline, all of that fun stuff. Any questions?
Rose.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Yvonne, if we could have some plan where we get these asks in writing, because it's just, I know, at least for me, like I struggle with just purely oral information.
Yes, after this meeting, I can send an email with those two specific asks. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Our next business of the day item is we are going to have the hybrid meeting on December 17th. We are still working on a location. We're looking at someplace, hopefully central campus wise, just so that it makes a little more sense for people to get there. But I believe Eric is working on that. So once we have that information, we'll be sure to get that out to everyone. All right. Moving on to committee reports. Back to Yvonne.
I guess the only thing to report is really we've been in conversations about the priority surveys, more information to come via that email, and looking forward to working with you all in developing and implementing it.
Awesome. Thanks, Yvonne. Communications, outreach, and recognition, Victoria.
Hello, everybody. We will be having our next committee meeting on Friday, November 14th. We'll be discussing the next copy of the EA voice, as well as upcoming coffee hours and looking ahead to the spring semester as December will fly by and the new year will begin. And then still looking into working on the social media that we have access to, figuring out guidelines and parameters for its usage. More soon to come for sure. And I think that's kind of the basics of what we've got right now.
Yes, Rose.
Shout out that George Peter Award was extended till the 7th, which is part of our subcommittee. Just remind.
Yes, thanks for that, Rose. I was actually going to mention that as well. On to Employee Education and Development Committee and Deb.
Hello, everybody. Just really quick, we will be scheduling a meeting for this month, so I'll be reaching out to everyone on the committee soon to schedule that meeting. And then happy to report we have three non-voting members who joined our committee, and I've reached out to all three, and hopefully we'll get the three to join our next meeting this month. And that's it.
Great. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome.
Employee Welfare Committee, Marcy.
Hi, so we actually haven't met since our last meeting, but we are meeting next week. Do you want me to talk about the UA Welfare Committee, or wait?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
Good with that. No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Benefits and Policy Committee, Ellie.
Hi, everyone. We had to cancel this week's meeting due to a conflict on my calendar, but we're looking to reschedule. Hopefully sometime next week. We also had one new person join, one non-voting member. She's joined the committee. And that's it for us.
Great. Thanks, Ellie. And then Elections Committee, I see Stephanie needed to step off. I believe she's been working with the members of the Elections Committee to start developing the calendar. I see some nods for those that are on the Elections Committee. Yes. So developing the calendar for the spring elections. Moving on to liaison reports, the UA Campus Codes Committee, Ricky.
Yeah, we have not met again, but we do have a meeting coming up that should be before our next meeting, so I'll give more updates then.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment, Ellie. I know you just stepped into that role. Nothing yet?
Nothing. I haven't heard a word from anybody about even when they meet. So.
Okay. Either Jessica or myself will follow up with the chair of that committee and make sure that they're aware that you're on that. Campus Welfare Committee, is either Gladys or Danielle Hill on the call? I thought I saw Danielle earlier, but she.
Sorry, yeah, I'm here.
You're there.
Marcy is on that.
Right.
Committee too.
Marcy's on it as the University Assembly representative. You're on it as the Employee Assembly representative, so that's why I didn't mean any disrespect to Marcy whatsoever, but you're there as
no,
our
my mistake. Marcy had mentioned it because I asked her if she wanted to report out, so that was my fault. We met on Monday, and we're kind of sorting out what we kind of want to work on as a committee specifically. So I don't have too much more to report than that. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Campus Planning Committee, either Mel or Kate.
Hi, I'm here. We haven't met. The fall meeting is this Friday, so I can report out at our next meeting.
Spectacular. Thank you so much. Yvonne, before you go, have you any updates on the Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board?
We have not met. There have been no updates so far.
All right. And Jeremy with the Committee for Campus Constituency Elected Trustees. I'm guessing there's probably not much of an update there either.
Nope. Yeah, no update.
All right. That's what I figured. Sorry about that. And then Faculty Senate, Danielle.
We haven't had another meeting, but the vote to censure the administration regarding the penalties against the now retired instructor, that motion failed.
Great. All right. So that wraps up our portion of the liaison reports. We're actually now in some pretty good time. I'm going to open up the floor to open discussion. Really quick, I just want to make sure everyone got the email and saw the email yesterday from VP Lovely of our winter break has been extended by a day. Yay, our subliminal thoughts and prayers and everything went through. I know my colleague was like, oh, Christine, lovely. And I was like, no, what now? And she goes, no, really, it's good. And so, yeah, that made my day. So, yes, we get an extra day, which is amazing. Saves a day of vacation or holiday or floating holiday that people may have used. And I hope everyone uses it to their fullest extent. So, yes, Danielle.
I wanted to remind everyone again, because I'm reminding people everywhere I go, that Kavita Bala had sent that email out about streamlining and recommending process improvements. To please take advantage of that, because we are given so few opportunities to actually try to make positive changes, where it's our voices, the people doing the work, making the decisions, and not the deans. So please do that. And from the information I've received, what they're looking for is kind of multiple people reporting on the same things. So if you have something that is an issue for your peers, send that out. I've asked people to just cut and paste whatever I wrote that they agree with and submit it. The more times they see it, the more seriously they'll take it. But please take advantage of that, and please encourage your constituents to do that.
Great. Thanks, Danielle. Yes, Carl.
Hi, y'all. So I just wanted to remind people that open enrollment is happening right now for all staff. And I want to make sure that we let our constituents know that they should be choosing whatever plans they want. I've had a lot of input come on the change of premiums, but I'm going to work with the Welfare Committee and the Benefits and Policy Committee to process some of that input before bringing it to a larger group. I do think that there are numerically some outliers in the increase compared to the last 20 years that would be important for us to talk about, especially in a year where they're talking of increased endowment gains. And so I think there's a lot of feelings about the increased endowment gains coming in a year where we're asked to take on more responsibility of the health insurance premiums, and those are coming at a cost of like $200 for some families more a month. So that's all in the works. Just letting you know we're working on that, and that it's not going on deaf ears.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl. And also, just to clarify, it's open enrollment for endowed colleges. Contract college, we have not received any word yet on rates or enrollment or anything fun. We're waiting on New York State for that. So yeah, that hopefully will be coming soon. I do see that people are starting to kind of drop off. I was aware that around 1 o'clock, people had to jump to other meetings. So I appreciate that. Do we have anything else? Yes, Marcy.
I do see a link for 2026 health options for New York State. Just saying. I can put the link in the chat, but there are only a couple of us that really care about that.
You can do that, but we haven't received anything official. So I would just stress to contract college staff to kind of take it with a grain of salt until you get something really official from benefits. There was something that was linked the last time around, and it happened to be from like 2024 for endowed. So just want to make sure, like, yeah, go ahead and link it in there if you want, or it's on the website. But I just want people to be aware that, you know, it may not be completely finalized, official, anything to that extent. Yes, Danielle.
Also, we were kind of pondering that we hadn't heard anything about retirement benefits and how they were affected for the insurance. So if you've heard anything, or you have a link to that, or a family member or a friend who is a retiree, and you are privy to that information, if you could please share that with the executive committee, so we can share that out, that would also be helpful.
Actually, Michelle, have you heard anything as one of our retiree reps? You just said we'll do. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Anything else? We do have only a handful more meetings left in 2025. Our next meeting will be on the 19th, and we are welcoming Curtis Cole. I believe, yes, Vice President and Chief Global Information Officer. He'll be giving us information about the CME Cornell Experience Modernization Initiative. Yay, Wendy, on one cup of coffee, remembering that one. And then we have two meetings in December, the December 3rd with President Kolakoff, VP Lovely, and Deputy Provost August. And then our last meeting of 2025 will be on December 17th, hybrid. Yes, Allison, really woe. Kurt Cole is going to be joining us online in 2 weeks. If no one has anything else for open discussion, I would be more than happy to welcome a motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
Motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
I'll second.
Awesome. Allison, can you send me that comment either in Teams or
Absolutely.
Email or something? Just so, thank you so much. I
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
And thank you.
We'll bring it up.
It wasn't in scope for the agenda. Thank you very much.
Yes. All right. And with that, this meeting is adjourned. Everyone enjoy the rest of your day and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.